This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. My goodness me, do Arsenal have a challenge on their hands in the Premier League title race. Manchester City comfortably regaining that gap that has been closed now after their win over Brighton. We've got some transfer news to discuss, and we look ahead, of course, to the weekend's games too. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show, joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you as always for doing so and for making this a part of your morning routines. It's incredibly appreciated. I hope you've had a fantastic week. It's Friday, which means the weekend is here and we can start to finally enjoy some time off, some reprieve, some respite from the working week. But thank you for everybody that continues to join us every single morning. Please do, if you would be ever so kind, to drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. Let's jump into the chat box and see what you guys are saying. Good morning to Black Shine, to Martin, to Rich, to Paul. Good morning to Glenn and Matt G, Pika Who. We've got Ismail, we've got Damien MD, Jose Lucas, Morgi, Justin Martin and Shari and Chris. Plenty more of you guys and girls as well. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Please do drop a like on the video. Help us to reach 1K every single day. It is massively appreciated. And I'm looking forward to reading through plenty of your comments in part two of the show when we go through your questions. Inga has been a member now for 30 months with the channel. Thank you so much for your very kind support and appreciation of the channel as well. Stilton says, not in hospitality, no weekend off here. No, I know what you mean. I'm working Sunday as well, to be fair. It's just the life, isn't it? It's just part of life. Sometimes you have to work weekends, but it's hopefully going to be made much easier, much swifter, and much more seamless by a North London derby win. Let's keep the fingers crossed that turns out to be the case. Right, let's jump into today's stories. And we kick off with yesterday evening's Premier League results. Manchester City winning 4-0 at Brighton. And I think what this result does is it raises a bit of a title issue that we've not really talked about too much. Because we've talked about the idea that they've got some tough games. You know, they're four away games prior to this one, where they have to go to Brighton, to Nottingham Forest. They've got to go to Spurs and they've got to go to Fulham. However, what we've not really touched upon, and you know, we can talk about the officiating, and certainly there was some poor officiating decisions in this game. I still think Man City probably would have won whether Brighton would have got those penalties or not. Who are we to know? But, you know, what we've not really talked about is the reality of the games that occur at this stage of the season. Brighton have literally next to nothing to play for at this stage. That is the reality of the Premier League right now. Brighton are 11th in the table. They're not going to get European qualification. They're not going to go down. They're going to be in an area of complete ambiguity and have nothing European to compete for next season. Their season is effectively over. And they're on the beach. And that was evident, I think, last night in the way that they tried to play. and there was nothing about them like we saw at the end of last season where they were really fighting tooth and nail to continue to qualify for those European places. Now, Manchester City play Nottingham Forest, who, of course, do have something to play for, and very much so. So there is a hope that Nottingham Forest will certainly be trying their hardest to get a point. That's the case. But then they go and play against Wolves, another side, and they're at home, another side, a point below Brighton. They've got nothing to play for. They can't get European places. They can't go down. Again, another team that have nothing really to fight for. And then go to Fulham, another team sitting in 13th. They had 11th, 12th and 13th. They're the teams you want to play at this stage of the season. These are teams that you want to be up against, you know. And Arsenal will play Bournemouth in a week or two's time. And there's probably going to be some similarities in that game in the comparison as well. Then they, of course, go to Tottenham. Now, Tottenham may or may not have something to play for at this stage because the gap between them and Manchester United is 7 points. The gap between them and Aston Villa is 6 points. But that could become 9 points this weekend when Aston Villa play their game. And we obviously play Spurs and we'll look to win that game. So they could be well off fourth by this point and they could be still very much clear of sixth and seventh too. I hope that it's not the case that Spurs still do have something to fight for because it would help us. But then there's the fact that they're Spurs. Are they really going to do Arsenal a favour? I'm not so sure. And then the final game of the season, they've got West Ham. Again, a team that at the moment, you know, are sitting in eighth place. They have something there to fight for. But it's a very good chance that come the end of the season, that final game, they won't have something to play for. So it's very, very difficult to kind of look at this situation and see where we're going to get some favours. Very, very difficult indeed. But who knows? I will have to wait and see if that turns out to be the case. Like I said, Spurs have two games in hand. They do. But I'm not too reliant upon them to get those results. One of those is away at Chelsea. You'd think they would win that. The other game in hand is against Manchester City. And they, of course, still have to play us as well in that run. So it's not necessarily too relevant at the moment. Anyway, that's enough about Man City and our title hopes. And by the way, just one last thing. There is a real irony, I think, in the critics of Arsenal turn around and say, well, you know, that's why losing to Aston Villa was so bad. And it's like, Man City aren't losing or dropping points. Man City are just a machine. And if they win the last six games of the season, they frankly deserve to win the league. It's not a battering of Arsenal. It's not a bashing of Arsenal if Man City go on and win the league because they win their final six games. If we don't win our final four games, then, you know, it is more so certainly on us. And I think we have to look at ourselves if we don't, because we should be trying to win all those four. And I believe that we should win those four remaining games. But for Manchester City, they just keep going. We just keep the faith, keep believing, keep focusing on ourselves, keep doing our job, which is winning those games. But, you know, it's an incredible challenge that Arsenal have got to go up against as well. Now, moving into the squads, David Ornstein, speaking yesterday for The Athletic, said that it is his expectation that at least one of Thomas Partey or Jorginho, and could be both, will leave in the summer. Thomas Partey, of course, might be able to fetch Arsenal something of a transfer fee. Jorginho's contract does not necessarily expire, and we could choose to obviously activate the option that we've got of an extra 1 year. There has been suggestions that he's in talks over a potential new contract for next season. I think that would depend maybe on Thomas Partey's future. But there's an expectation, it seems now, that one of these two midfielders will leave alongside Mohamed Elneny, of course, as well, whose contract also runs out at the end of this season, which means that there is going to be interest in trying to sign a midfielder. And there's been a number of reports over the last couple of days linking Arsenal with different midfielders. Zubimendi, of course, is a player whose name has come up significantly. He, however, has gone on record once again to talk about his happiness, how comfortable he is at staying in Spain with La Real. It's always been kind of a position that he's held. He said recently to Marca, they are just rumours. I'm happy at Real Sociedad. It's like my home. I can't say that I will play my entire career at Sociedad. Perhaps the club won't want me to continue in the future. But I don't concern myself with these rumours. So once again, Zubimendi doubling down on this happiness he has to stay in Spain. Meanwhile, Bruno Guimaraes has a release clause. Fabrizio Romano tweeting yesterday that this release clause of £100 million is active from the last week of May until the end of June. After that point, that release clause is no longer applicable, and basically Newcastle will be able to ask for whatever they want. There has been suggestions that any club that goes in for Bruno Guimaraes might indeed be able to do a deal below that £100 million release clause. So it's not necessarily always going to be relevant that that exists, but if any club wants to, you know, just beat the competition and give Newcastle no position at all to negotiate, they can just go in and activate that release clause that exists in his contract, but only will it be available from the last week of May till the end of June. And then there's a new, I say new, not necessarily new in the sense that on the channel, because I've been talking about Yusuf Fofana for quite some time. But according to Foot Mercato, Arsenal are indeed monitoring the French international. While Monaco midfielder is a player that I rate incredibly highly, that I watched in the flesh in the Emirates Cup in the summer, was incredibly impressed by, and have kept tabs on him since then. He's a serial call-up target for the French national side. He is always in that French national side, which is by no means an easy squad to get into. He's a brilliant box-to-box player. He can play slightly deeper as well. And he offers Arsenal plenty of really promising traits, both going forwards, defensively, and from kind of a number eight position. I think he could play in front of Rice. I think he could play potentially behind Rice. So Fofana as a midfield option in the summer is definitely one that I would be very pleased to see Arsenal move toward. Price-wise, I think would be relatively reasonable as well. I don't think his contract's got too long left on it either, and he's of a very good age too. So there's plenty of opportunities there for a club like Arsenal or any other similar to move for Yusuf Fofana in the summer, and he certainly would be one of the top picks for me moving into that window. Right, let's go to part two and your questions right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, let's jump into the chat box, shall we? And let's go to some of your comments. Emeka says, I keep believing. Me too, mate. We're always believing. We can always hope that something might come good for Arsenal and that they might indeed drop points. But we've just got to focus on ourselves, pick up the points that we can pick up, win the games that we can win. This Premier League weekend, of course, gives Arsenal another opportunity to hopefully make a difference. This weekend, we've got Arsenal up against Tottenham in the North London Derby on Sunday, but the weekend's game, Saturday, West Ham against Liverpool, Fulham against Palace, Man United against Burnley, Newcastle against Sheffield United, Wolves against Luton, Everton against Brentford, Aston Villa against Chelsea. Lots of games on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Arsenal will be able to go once again 6 points clear of four points clear of Manchester City as they play Tottenham in the 2 o'clock kickoff at the same time as Bournemouth Brighton. South Coast Derby, of course, that. And Nottingham Forest will play at home at 4:30 against Manchester City. There is then a midweek game between Chelsea and Spurs on the following Thursday before the next group of fixtures, which sees Manchester City take on Wolves at home and Arsenal take on Bournemouth at home at an early 12:30 kickoff. So lots of football to go on. And Champions League, I think, returns as well next week also. So Man City will have their Champions League. They're not going to be in the Champions League because they got knocked out by Real Madrid. But they have got the FA Cup final at the end of the season, which, of course, has pushed that game against Tottenham to the final midweek point of the season. You just assume at this stage, Man City are always going to be through, aren't you? Michael says, liking your show every day and helping you get to 1,000 likes. Thank you, Michael. That's very kind of you indeed. If you could be ever so generous to drop a like on the video and help us reach our daily target of 1K every single day, that would be massively appreciated. So thank you to Michael, who is doing his part as well. Ian says, why don't the media call out officials? We have had questionable officiating at Newcastle and at Villa, but I don't remember City having any. In fact, they have had more in their favour. It'd be interesting to get kind of a table. It's difficult without any kind of real numbers, isn't it, to have a look at who's had decisions of a controversial nature and how many relate to the specific club. Without, we have a perception, but those perceptions can be biased, of course, without actual evidence to look at. In terms of why don't the media call out officials, well, in commentary, you do tend to hear commentators or co-commentators say whether or not they thought that was a penalty. I'm also part of the media. I certainly always try and tend to call out officials when I think they need to be called out. I've moaned about the consistency of officiating quite regularly. So I don't know necessarily in where that's coming from regarding why don't the media call out officials, because they certainly do. And they certainly do criticise and scrutinise their decisions fairly regularly. So in terms of why don't they, I don't necessarily think that exists. Roy says, Tom, should we be worried with Jared Gillett being on our VAR? He's not been great for us before. The Chambers non-foul against Palace and not awarding a penalty against Chelsea when Jesus was clumped by Sanchez. He's also allegedly a Liverpool supporter, Jared Gillett. You can find plenty of articles relating to that cause. And I wrote a piece about a comment that was made confirming that he is indeed a Liverpool supporter as well. So should we be concerned? I hope not. But quite frankly, Roy, I'm always concerned every single game with the officiating, because the consistency of the officiating in this country and the standard of officiating in this country is simply not good enough. There's another bit of media calling out officials for you there. Awegbu says, it's painful watching the league slip off our hands. I really hope City drop points. A draw will do. But the big question is, are we up for it? Are we really going to beat Spurs and Man United? I guess we will find out. But that is the challenge that we've got. If we win the final four games of the season and still don't win the league, I really don't know what more can be asked. We aren't of a level that we aren't necessarily going to be able to win basically every single game. We'll point to the games against West Ham. We'll point to the games against Fulham, the Aston Villa game, of course, as well, the home match against Fulham earlier in the season. But I'll also point to the fact that we have been without two big players for the course of the majority of the campaign, that huge decisions in big games like the West Ham fixture, like the Newcastle fixture, like the Aston Villa fixture have not gone our way. And ultimately, when that all comes to a fore at the end of the season, if the fact that you've not been able, you've only lost one game in the entire second half of the campaign, drawing just one other, which happened to be your title rivals in which you kept a clean sheet, and you still don't win the league, I don't think I can have too many complaints, to be honest. John says, Elneny and Cedric both played three games. Would you play them for a few minutes in the last few games so they can get a medal if they come first? No, I wouldn't. I don't think we need to. I don't think that's even a mindset. It also is worth pointing out that whilst you're guaranteed a medal if you pay five Premier League appearances, the club, if they win the league, are given a lot of medals which they can distribute as well, even if they don't make those appearances. Anayo says, hi, Tom. I just really wish Man City would drop points. Me too. Trevor says, I thought Brighton were very poor. And I guess we talked about that at the start of the show, that sadly there are going to be teams that are on the beach at this stage that have nothing to play for. And that really isn't going to work into our favour. Komodo says, refs letting ankle breakers go unpunished in our last two games. You're absolutely right. The Kilman challenge on Havertz and the Jackson challenge on Tomiyasu, both red cards, both not given. Knowledge says, I just looked at Fofana on Transfermarkt. Good player, and Arsenal should definitely go and get him. Magambo says, if Klopp had won the league, he would have been more successful than Wenger in terms of winning Europe from two titles. So I'm happy at least it's not going to be them. Still Klopp over Pep for me. I don't get how anyone can rate Klopp over Pep, to be honest. He's won six of the last... If he wins the league this season, it'll be six of the last seven titles. Stephen says, Ian Jackson was clear redemption and no luck in that Chelsea game. Ben White was a shot as well. I don't even know where you're coming from, really, Stephen, with that. I assume that's in response to a previous comment. Our third goal against Chelsea, we got lucky. That was 100% a foul. You can say we got lucky. We scored five goals in the game. So if you want to point to one of them being lucky, feel free, but we scored five goals. Troy says, I'm looking past this season and focusing on the summer transfer window, Tom. Fofana should be a priority, in all honesty. I don't see City dropping points. And look, I know some people are in a situation where they're just implementing their coping mechanisms. If you expect disappointment, you'll never be disappointed, as the saying goes, and you're entitled to do that. I love to live in optimistic worlds, and I will certainly be living in my little optimistic bubble all the way until the end of the season, hoping, praying that Man City drop the points they need to drop and that Arsenal win the points that they need to win. But ultimately, we just need to focus on ourselves right now. If they drop points, great, but we've got to deliver. It's not a case of, you know, we've got the lead and them dropping points helps us out and means we can drop points too. It's the reality of the situation. Nick says, Tommy or Jakob on Sunday? Tommy for me. Paul says, clubs get 40 medals and give them to all their first team squads with the permission of the Premier League and some staff and the requirements to play a fixed number of games agreed with the Premier League. Isn't there that you get a guaranteed medal if you're five? I know you get 40 medals to distribute, but isn't there something about the whole minimum 5 games. Martin says, the problem is the ridiculous geographical squad and the referees. 50% of the clubs are southern. Nearly all of the refs are northern. I don't know if that does play a deal into it, but you never know. It's certainly not something that we can statistically prove, but it's certainly a reference point for a lot of conspiracy theories. Stephen says, sometimes you just agree to admit that you was beaten by a better team. If Man City win the league, I ain't disappointed by being beaten by the best team on the planet. And there is no fan on this earth that realistically didn't have Man City after just winning the treble as favourites for the league going into the season. If we finish second to the favourites, again, you can't have too many complaints at the end of the day. And I hope next season we are closer, more competitive, and we can fight on more fronts with a better squad as well. Vanadruti says, are we at a disadvantage with the amount of derby matches we have to play, as we are the biggest scalp they can get? Well, of course, in some ways, not in some ways, in all ways, we've got the hardest running with Spurs and Manchester United still to come, both away from home. But I'd still say that we're favourites. And that's the point, is that we go into these games as the expectation is to win. Loga says, if they drop points, it will be a shock. So you never know where it might come from. We just have to hope. Absolutely. North Banguna says, I remember Ray Parlour's wind-up to Keown in the Invincible season. Keown needed to come on in the last game. It was comedy gold. Front Yard says, I feel like the whole 5 appearances was a La Liga rule that we assume in for the Premier League too. I've never heard someone say it's fact as well. It's always one of those weird rules that people just, I think we just assume is still the case. Kazang says, Chelsea Channel commented that we can have the final whistle, please, ASAP, on the Arsenal fourth goal. Some of those Chelsea watch-alongs have been glorious. Also, one of my favourite things from yesterday, I don't know if you saw me tweet this, but the ever funny Rory Jennings with his football takes, which always do tend to make me giggle, tweeted yesterday saying, still processing what happened last night. That actually has to be one of the worst performances ever. I mean, literally ever. Never has it been this bad. 30 points above us, 30. Never has the gap been so big between the two clubs in either direction. We are lost. Now, underneath that tweet is a Twitter community note which reads, last season, Arsenal finished 40 points above Chelsea, which I just think is one of the greatest uses of that function that we may ever see. So the community notes there were so good because it has indeed been bigger. Last season it was 40. So I guess you can say Chelsea are progressing. It could end up being 42 come the end of the season if Chelsea lose the rest of their games and Arsenal win the rest of their games, of course. The gap has indeed apparently closed, Chelsea fans. So maybe you should have optimism about the direction you're moving in. Paul says, all players who play 5 or more games are guaranteed a medal. Those who play less get medals with agreement of the Premier League. City's number 2 keeper always gets a medal, even though they are rarely playing 5 games. There you go. So I thought it was that. They guaranteed a medal if they get 5 appearances, but you can get still given a medal if you get permission and you get one given to you. Phil says, did Rob Edwards overtake Super Mick as the best-looking manager in the Premier League? If you ask Laura Kirk Francis, she'll definitely agree with you there, Phil. It almost gets uncomfortable reading some of her tweets about Rob Edwards. Sam says, sooner or later, the Premier League will become like a farmer league where City will keep winning titles by spending money. I just can't think that, you know, the idea of any team being able to overtake City is going to take a huge amount of investment. It's probably going to take Pep Guardiola to leave, you know, as well. That is incredibly important for City's future. You know, when they didn't have Pep, they weren't this dominant. They still won leagues under Manuel Pellegrini and, of course, Roberto Mancini, but they weren't anywhere near as dominant or as anywhere near as competitive as they are under Pep Guardiola. SNGC says, Tom, do you think it's a benefit for us that Spurs don't play for 14 days? It can be in some ways. Yes, they're going to have more rest. Yes, they're going to be arguably fresher, but Arsenal have momentum. Arsenal, you'd think, would be sharper. Spurs have been, you know, really just sitting on that 4-0 defeat against Newcastle and have just got a stew in that for 2 weeks, frustrated, annoyed, and, you know, watching Aston Villa just continually pick up points while they don't play. And watching Arsenal, of course, continue to fight for a title. So I hope that it's going to lean more in our favour, actually, than the other direction. So I think it's a good question to ask. By the way, I'm aiming to have a preview show tonight as well. So hopefully we're going to have some volunteers for our preview show, which hopefully we will be running this evening, probably around 5 p.m., 6 p.m. So make sure you look out for that one. Let's go, though, to some more of your points as well. We've still got some Still got time to take plenty more of your questions today. AFC Till I Die says, Tom didn't get a chance to watch the City match. Was there any more VAR screw-ups? Arguably, yes. Brighton could have had a penalty. It's one of those weird ones where there's kind of a coming together, but I think there's enough in it that a penalty probably should be given. The problem at the moment is that referees aren't giving decisions. They are relying on the VAR to make decisions for them. Psychologically, their bar to give penalties, to give red cards, has just increased dramatically because they know they've got the safety net of the VAR there. It's almost as if they don't want to be proven wrong at times, that they want their decision to stand and be, you know, the actual right choice. It's almost like it's a hit to their pride if VAR overturns one of their choices, and it shouldn't be. But I think that referees now rely too much upon VAR, and now they don't make calls. And because of the laws regarding VAR, the threshold for VAR to actually get involved is incredibly high, meaning that a referee leaning on the VAR to make an overturned decision when they probably should have made that decision on field may not get overturned because the threshold is so high, to make that call. It's an incredibly frustrating situation for us. Omar says, do you think losing to Villa has freed Arsenal and the fans to really go for it as the pressure is off? I don't think the pressure's off at all. I don't buy into this thing about Arsenal not being under pressure because we're not leading the way anymore and not being necessarily in our hands. It's not freed the pressure. There's a pressure in every... If Arsenal lose or drop points in one game, it's done. It's over. That there is pressure there. There is expectation that we have to win. And if we don't win, just like Liverpool didn't win in midweek, it's done. And you're done. And it's over. You know? So you can't afford to drop anything. The idea that the pressure is off is not true. We're not being chased. We're not leading the way. But any slip up here and you are out of it. So, no, I don't agree that the pressure is off in any way, shape or form. It's arguably, you know, in some ways mentally maybe easier to chase than it is to lead the way. But I'd rather know that I was leading, you know, rather than having to chase and rely upon something out of your own hands to go your way. So I don't think that's the case at all. Tom says, how did the missus find the marathon on Sunday? I've entered the ballot to run myself next year, so I'm keen to get some perspective. In her words, she will never do it again, but it was one of the best things that she ever did. So Tom, I'd recommend you do it if you're really up for that sort of thing. You may never want to do it again afterwards, but it's an amazing experience. It was an amazing day, I have to say, just running around London with the transport being absolutely ridiculous. I've never seen so many people in London and it being so difficult to get around the city, but it was an amazing experience just to watch it. I can't imagine what it was like for her to run it. She did brilliantly and finished in under 5 hours as well, so which is obviously for your first marathon what usually people tend to try and target. So absolutely brilliant stuff, and it was a great day. So yeah, I'd recommend doing it, but you probably will never want to do it again afterwards. Or maybe you'll get the bug and want to always do it. Adam says, Tom, I don't like listening live. I think about a question to ask you the day before and then spend the whole live trying to remember what it was. Write it down, Adam. You've got notes on your phone. Just write it down, mate. Or you can leave it in the comment afterwards. I do tend to reply to nearly all comments. So I do read through all of them. So do make sure you leave it out there. Ian says, I want Arsenal and Mikel Arteta to win the league while Pep is still here. And Man City is this dominant, like Mourinho did with Chelsea when Wenger and Solex was there in their pomp as well. I mean, obviously, I want them to. It doesn't diminish the achievement in any way, shape or form if Arsenal win the league where Pep isn't here. Obviously, I'd like them to. But I really hope that if Arsenal do end up winning the league, say, in a year or two's time, say, Pep's not here, I really hope that the critics of Arsenal, as they still will exist, because, you know, even when Arsenal win the league, they're going to find a way to somehow try and batter Arsenal. It'll probably be, oh, well, he couldn't do it when Pep was here. Neither could most people. So, yeah, I can imagine that's what they will cling to. But I see where you're coming from. Ewig Bruce says, I'm so sure of next season. We are definitely winning a trophy or two. Winning the league this year will be a plus, but next season is the massive one, especially when we might have added quality. It was always thought that 2025 was that year. That was always kind of talked about, the 24-25 season. I remember Edu, I think, mentioning 2025 in a kind of an interview he did a year or two ago. It was always seen that 2025 was kind of that the year of Arsenal. If that turns out to be the case, that's quite the prediction. Yeah, certainly it's going to be intriguing to see whether or not it does come to pass that 2025 is the magic year for Gunners. But I hope it's 2024. I'm a Real Gooner says, Tom, the biggest joke is if Spurs fans are saying they would let City win. I mean, would you let City win to stop Spurs winning the league? I don't think there's too much shame in that, to be honest. I really don't. If Spurs fans are saying that they'd happily let City win, I guess where you're coming from, because you said as if they've got even got a choice in the matter. I know where you're coming from, but it is. I always say, like, as an Arsenal fan, the minimum expectation is you want Arsenal to win, and that's why some people, sadly, out there have lost their fan status, because there's been times they've wanted Arsenal to lose, so the manager gets sacked, and that's come under Emery, that's come under Arteta, that's come under Wenger. There's been fans out there, sadly, that have wanted their team to lose just because they don't like who's in charge or of the ownership. You lose your fan status if you ever fell into that trap. But when it comes to the idea that if Arsenal don't win, it stops Spurs winning the league, and that has no impact on Arsenal's place whatsoever. So say Arsenal can't finish any higher than fourth, or Arsenal can't finish any higher than sixth, or can't finish any higher than fifth. If losing means it doesn't get Spurs the league, that's the only time where you've got this little loophole to exist. So bear that in mind. That's all I'd say. Ben says, next season I need to see us take the other cup seriously as well. I'd be feeling a lot better if we had bagged the Carabao Cup or still in the FA Cup. Hopefully, Mikel Arteta's tricky Reds can deliver. I think that obviously this season what we found was we got drawn against Liverpool, and you know, to be honest, we deserved to win that game against Liverpool. It's a frustration that we didn't last season. We got drawn against Man City away from home, and it's again we only lost that game 1-0 on the day, and we actually made rotational changes for that fixture. Vieira came in, Holding came in. I think Trossard started one of his first games for Arsenal as well. So we made some rotation for that fixture, whereas City, I think, went as strong as they could. You know, Haaland started, I think they started the majority of their key players. They usually do, to be fair. But you say they usually do for their FA Cup games, because their squad's so strong, you never really even know when they rotate. Next season, I want to see Arsenal have a squad where we can afford to rotate, so that you've got players like Tomiyasu, like Kivior, like a player as good as Jorginho or Partey can start these games, you know. You've got Martinelli, Jesus, that can start these cup games because we can afford to. And hopefully a team next season, the depth that we will have with the signings we're looking to make will help us be far more competitive across those cup competitions. As Komodo points out, Manchester United have got to three finals under Erik ten Hag. But if you look at the runs they have had, you know, they've been, and the Carabao Cup win they had when they got to the final and beat Newcastle was one of the easiest cup runs in a team's history. You know, yes, this season they've got to an FA Cup final by beating Liverpool in the quarters, but they then nearly got knocked out by Coventry City, who they had in the semis. They probably, you know, should have done. And sadly, with that goal, that 4-3 goal was ruled out for offside. But that's the reality of cup competitions, is the depth that you need to challenge for the title and the Champions League and the Cups is incredibly hard to do. And hopefully we can do it. But next season is the one where it will really be measured. Mindful says, how do we win against a team that has the best players and the best manager and buys? I mean, this whole buying referees is, by the way, massively liable. So you want to be very careful about saying things like that. It's worth pointing out these are people's opinions. But saying things like that can get you in a lot of trouble. Just a heads up for that. So you want to watch it if you're saying things like that on social media. But at the end of the day, the referees, I don't believe that about the referees at all, by the way. You may think that they are. I personally don't. I just think they're bad. I just don't think they're good enough, personally. I just think they are not good enough and not to the standard, and they're not good enough to be officiating the best league, supposedly, in the world. I did watch Mark Goldbridge's kind of monologue yesterday, talking about how he was turning off the Man City Brighton game because it was boring. And I really empathise with his point of view there, to be honest. It is something to be said about how boring it is. That, at the same time, I get where he's coming from. And if you want to turn off games because it's boring and City are going to win 6 out of 7 leagues and that supposedly more should be done to make the league more competitive, I get that. But it's very difficult with this ongoing investigation with Manchester City to have these types of conversations, because whilst the investigation is going on, we don't have a verdict. So legally, there's some really kind of, there's a lot of red tape involved about these types of discussions. You know, as someone who's currently doing quite a lot of studying into law, I'm certainly becoming more educated on the matter. And so Mindful says, I don't care about getting in trouble. Someone has to come out and say these things. Yeah, you will when it happens, mate. If you don't care about getting in trouble, I recommend posting it on social media with your full name and address and stuff like that. You know, if you really genuinely don't care and you're happy to become a martyr for that point of view, it's very different to saying it behind an anonymous account online. but the reality is different, you know, and the legal side of things with it is very, very serious. But it's very difficult to have these conversations about the Premier League being boring and the inevitability of, MM points out, of Manchester City. I get that that's boring, but if they are there by merit, as opposed to what else it could be, it is difficult to have those conversations. But I understand the point of view, and I empathise with the perspective a lot. But until this investigation comes to a head and we get the conclusions that we want, because we want a conclusion, you know, we want clarity on this, and that will come supposedly next year. But it's very hard of a conversation to have until these investigations bring us a result. I guess we'll see. DT says, can anyone remember a big decision that's ever gone against City in a big game? To be honest, probably not, but that's because there is subconscious bias. There is going to be always subconscious bias. If you were a Man City fan, you'd probably be able to list them off pretty comfortably, like we can as Arsenal fans, you know? So that is always something to play into it as well. Maggie says, Tom, are we going to have to set up a GoFundMe for Mindful's legal fees? We might. Adrian says, I don't expect there to be any great punishment handed down by City. It would be such a black eye of the league. I think they will be greatly punished, bad actors and scapegoats, but the team will escape. It's we'll have to wait and see in terms of what happens. MD says, we lost games like West Ham, Fulham, Villa we could easily have drawn. Was that really about the squads? Even the losses to West Ham and Liverpool and Bayern for the cuts were not finishing our chances. MD points these games out. The West Ham game, we were incredibly unfortunate. We had 77 touches in the opposition box. That's nothing to do with like the manager not being good enough. You know, his philosophy created a situation where his team should have scored. And had we have had maybe the players, if Man City had 77 touches in the box against West Ham, they probably would have scored. Because guess what? They're better than us. And Fulham was a bad performance. Teams are allowed off days. You don't want them to be, but teams have them. You know, it happens. And you just have to kind of account for that you are in the season going to have a very bad performance. Fulham was that. The Aston Villa game, absolutely so many things went against us in that fixture. We should have had a penalty when Douglas Luiz brought down Gabriel Jesus. And at the end of the game, we were incredibly unfortunate not to score any when Havertz went through. We created opportunities. Martinelli had loads of chances down that left-hand side. I think Bukayo Saka also had a chance from the right-hand side in the first half as well that we wasted. When you look to the West Ham, Liverpool and Bayern in the cup games, West Ham we rotated, Liverpool we rotated, and Bayern Munich. I mean, Nelson started against Liverpool in that game in the FA Cup, you know, and Bayern Munich we also, we look at that game and at the end of the day, Bayern is still a very, very good side and they deserve to win across two legs and we were only narrowly beaten and we had the big Saka situation, you know, as well. So we talk about these like, you know, they're big, big black marks on our season, but there is explanations behind every single one of them. The only one there isn't really is Fulham, and the Fulham game was just a bad performance on the day and we weren't good enough, and I think there were certainly fingers to be pointed at the manager and how we approached that game and how we executed our plan that day as well. But beyond that, I think you're clutching at straws. Phil said, sell Partey in the summer or keep him so we can play the Partey Rice Ødegaard midfield. It's difficult, Phil. I think it depends upon the summer window. It depends upon what signings we can make as opposed to the individual. And, of course, what offers come in for some of the players that we've got. Angela says, any thoughts on squad cost control with anchoring measures being voted on next week as the replacement for profit and sustainability rules? A Sky reporter said there's going to be a vote by the clubs. Yeah, and it seems the majority are in favour of this. I'm not too kind of in with this situation in terms of knowing too much. Is supposed to bring the squad cost controls together. So is it something to do with like the investment cannot breach like the bottom team's revenue or something? There's something about spending limits and how we're going to try and control things. But the problem is with this, Angela, is the horse has bolted, you know, at this stage. The cat's out the bag. You can't reel it back in once teams like City have already invested billions. I mean, under Pep Guardiola, and he's a manager that came in 2016 after they'd already won a couple of league titles, already won plenty of cups as well, already invested millions into a squad that he inherited that included Kevin De Bruyne. They'd already inherited so much. You know, they then went and spent over 1.2 billion under him. So it's impossible to deal with this and this situation. I think my lungs are failing me, so we may have to wrap this up pretty soon. In fact, we're not going to wrap it up now because I'm feeling my voice is going to fail me. Thank you for listening. Do drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new. And I'm very much appreciative of everybody that's tuned in. If you could do all that, it does go a long way. We try and reach 1K every single day. And it would be incredibly appreciative if you could help us on that journey. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning to give all the latest news and wrap up Mikel Arteta's press conference, which takes place this afternoon. You'll be able to get all the updates of that on the football.london website, as always. Kyle will be there at the Shubba Realty Training Centre for that. I think I have a super chat to read out very quickly as well. Mick said, resident optimist speaking, I believe. I believe too, Mick. Hopefully we can get the job done. Keep those fingers crossed that indeed we can do it. And Hugh and Rob, who became brand new members of the channel as well, thank you for your kind support, guys, and welcome to the TGT crew. I'll be back with you, as I say, tomorrow morning to give a roundup of Mikel Arteta's press conference, and we'll have a preview show, hopefully, for you this evening as well, either 5 or 6 o'clock tonight UK time. So also look out for that. Have a brilliant Friday. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal.
It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.